Here on the record, this is the Senate State Affairs Committee hearing. Today's date is April 10th, 2012. The time is 9:07 in the morning. We have with us today Senator Kukesh, Senator Gieselson, and myself, Wilkowski. We have an ambitious schedule. It's my hope that we'll get through at least the first 8 bills we publicly noticed. The first 4 bills we have previously heard, so I'm hopeful we can move through them quickly. The first bill we'll take up is Senate Bill 206, which authorizes the state to enter into the Interstate Mining Compact. The second is House Bill 169, which changes the way the Legislative Affairs Agency reviews executive branch regulations. Third, we have HB 216, which proposes to set firmer deadlines for the drafting of regulations and to ensure they're written in plain English. Fourth, we'll consider House Bill 304, which makes changes to membership of the Alaska Standards Fire Standards Council. Fifth is House Bill 333, which eliminates poet reserve accounts. Sixth is HB 345, which waives commercial driver's license requirements for those who have experience driving commercial vehicles in the armed services. Seventh is HB 234, which makes picketing at a funeral within certain distances unlawful. Eighth is HCR 28, which proclaims House April 2012 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and there's several others that are listed as well. Okay, we'll begin with Senate Bill 206, which authorizes the state to join the Interstate Mining Compact. This is the second hearing on the bill. Senator Giesel is the prime sponsor. Alaska is currently an associate member of the Interstate Mining Commission. The bill would enable us to become a full member. We heard all testimony, all in support of the bill. I think it's a good bill. Senator Giesel, do you have anything you'd like to add at this point?
Only, Mr. Chair, that the companion passed last night unanimously in the other body on the floor session, and there was a reduction in the fiscal note.
Okay, so the fiscal note was $40,000. Did they end for membership and $20,000 annually for travel and expenses? There's been a reduction in that number.
The other body reduced it by $20,000, the travel budget, Mr. Chair.
Okay, any questions for the bill sponsor? Seeing none, do I have a motion to move Senate Bill 206 from committee with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 206 be moved to the next committee referral with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Any discussion? Seeing none, the bill is moved. Okay. Okay, while we're signing the bill sheet, we'll move on to House Bill 169 next, which changes the way the Legislative Affairs Agency reviews executive branch regulations. This is the second hearing on this bill. Last meeting, we heard from Melanie Lesh, representing the House Judiciary Committee. The bill drafter, Lisa Kirsch, was also online. She commented that the bill does correct the problem within the administrative review process. Do committee members have any questions for the bill sponsor, who I see in the audience? Okay, I don't see any. The bill has a zero fiscal note. Do I have a motion to move House Bill 169, Version A, from committee with individual recommendations and the attached zero fiscal note?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 169 be moved to next committee of referral with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any discussion? Any objection? Okay, the bill is moved. Let's take a brief at ease. Now go to House Bill 216, which would set firmer deadlines for the drafting of regulations and require they're written simply and clearly. We had an overview of this bill during our hearing on April 3rd. We have a CS for this bill. It is version L. Could I have a motion to adopt the CS for House Bill 216 / version L?
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt a / L for purposes of discussion.
And I'll object for the purposes of discussion, and I'll just say that the bill adds on page 2 at line 14 and 15 the words "to the extent practicable." This is a simply clarifies that notices accompanying the release of new regs will be written in clear, easily readable language to the extent practicable. Those are the four words that are added there on page 2, lines 14 and 15. Several agencies within the state deal in very complex and technical subject matter. We didn't want to ask them to do something that prevents them from communicating the content of their regulations to the very specific audience they're seeking to reach. For example, if the Department of Environmental Conservation is putting out regulations on the use of polybrominated diphenyl ethers, they may need to use that technical term at some point. We wanted to make sure that we are not tying the hands of agencies and inadvertently preventing them from actually saying what they're doing. I'll remove my objection. Is there continued objection to the CS? Okay, I don't see any. Bill has a zero fiscal note. With that, do I have a motion to move CS for House Bill 216, version L, from committee with individual recommendations and attached fiscal note?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that HB 216 be moved from committee with the new CSL to the next committee referral with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any discussion? Any continued objection? Okay, I don't see any. Take a brief at ease. On the record, we'll now go to House Bill 304, which would modify the membership of the Alaska Fire Standards Council. The bill adds one new member, which must be from the Alaska Fire Chiefs Association. In addition, it specifies that one existing seat must be filled by a member of the state Alaska Firefighters Association, and another by a representative of the Alaska Professional Firefighters Association. Aaron Shine is here from Representative Johnson's office. Do committee members have any questions or comments about this bill for Ms. Shine? I don't see any. There's a fiscal note for the bill, $2,200 annually to cover the travel and per diem costs for the new seat created on the council. The bill has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Do I have a motion to move House Bill 304 to the next committee of referral with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 304 be moved to the next committee of referral with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any discussion? Any objection? I don't see any. The bill is moved. Take a brief at ease. Consider House Bill 333, which proposes to modify statutes pertaining to the public offices expense term accounts, also known as POTA accounts. We have Julie Lucky here. Welcome to the Senate State Affairs Committee. Julie, you come forward, give us an overview of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. For the record, my name is Julie Lucky, staff to Representative Mike Hawker, representative for District 32. I know you have an ambitious schedule today, so I can keep my presentation very brief and then take any questions the committee might have. The bill, there's a lot of pages, but the bill basically makes one major change to the statute, and that's by repealing the POET account reserve, the public office expense term reserve account. It also sets in statute, in Section 1 of the bill, what you can do with any funds remaining in a POET reserve or a municipal POET reserve. The municipalities have a similar account. The POET reserve is, of course, only to be used for legitimate office expenses, so the statute was silent about what could be done with any funds remaining in that account, and so it provides guidelines that used to be for the POET reserve, which is being repealed by this bill, puts it into the statute for the POET accounts and the municipal POET accounts. And that's very simply what the bill does. I would be happy to explain what I know about the process of the poet reserves, if that's important to put on the record, and there might also be somebody from APOC if you would prefer to have them address
you that. Could just give us a quick overview of how it works. That'd be good.
All right. Mr. Chairman, basically, as you know, when you get done with your campaign, you have a certain amount of time to expend your money, and what you can do with the money at the end of a campaign is limited. One of the options is to put a certain amount into a public office expense term account, which can be used for legitimate office expenses, and that is limited to $5,000 per year of your term of office. So for a Senate office, it would be $20,000. For a House office, it would be $10,000. For some reason, a few years back, they created what was called a poet reserve account. It is my understanding that that was done for tax purposes. However, the research we've done has not shown it to be necessary, and we've also asked APOC to look into it. So the way that it currently works, you're allowed to take your $5,000 for your first term of office, put it directly into the poet account, but anything over that $5,000 must be put into a reserve account, and then you are allowed to transfer $5,000 per year back into the poet account, which is, I guess, sort of like a checking account versus a savings account. There's actually no limit to what you can spend in a year, so you could theoretically hold on to your full $20,000 and spend it in the last year. So it was seen as kind of an arbitrary metering out of funds with some additional, you had to have an additional account and also an additional annual report that showed one transfer. And so it was kind of seen as an unnecessary, complicated step. So this would allow you to take your full, for your Senate office, $20,000 directly into what would be your, basically your checking account. And then the accounting, reporting, and limits on use would remain the same. They're not touched by this bill.
Okay. Sounds like a pretty straightforward sort of cleanup bill. Has there been any objection to the bill?
Mr. Chairman, there has not. APOC requested two amendments, which were incorporated in the House State Affairs CS.
Okay, great. Any questions? All right, I don't see any. Let's go to public testimony. Anyone online? Is there anyone here from APOC? I don't see any. Oh, do you want to just come forward and put yourself on the record? Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Joan Mize. I am the lobbying administrator for the Alaska Public Offices Commission.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. And I just wanted to give members an opportunity to ask any questions. There may not be any questions, but any questions for APOC? Okay. Do you have any concerns with the bill? Do you think this is just a cleanup bill?
I think it's a cleanup bill. Correct. And they did do the suggestions that we had in the House.
Okay, great. Thank you.
So.
Okay. No further questions. Thank you for coming before us. Okay, is there any other public testimony online? I don't see any. Anyone else in the room wanting to testify? I don't see any. We're going to close public testimony. My hope is that we're going to add a hearing tomorrow morning. I do want to give members, this is the first hearing in the Senate, I do want to give members an opportunity to review the bill. If there are amendments, please, if you could get them to my office by tonight. It's ambitious, but we are on a deadline here. And my hope is that we can move the bill very soon.
What's the next committee referral, Mr. Chairman?
There is a, I believe there's, is there a finance committee referral?
Mr. Chairman, I believe this is the final committee referral for this legislation.
Well, in that case, I have no objection to hold it for one night then.
Let's just hold it, move the, just hold it for a night. Yeah. And it is the only committee of referral. And on resolutions, I'm a little more open to moving them within a day. This is a bill I think it'd be good for members just to sleep on overnight and just make sure there's no concerns that arise. Okay, so with that, we're going to set the bill aside.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. Okay, let's take a brief at ease. We did have House Bill 234 scheduled next. My understanding is we're waiting for a new CS, and the hope again is that we can bring that up tomorrow. Okay, let's move on to House Concurrent Resolution 28, which proclaims April 2012 as Sexual Assault Awareness Month. We have, I believe, Representative Fairclough here to present the bill. Representative Fairclough, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, Representative Fairclough, District 17, Eagle River, Alaska. Representative Munoz extends her apologies. She is in another Senate hearing this morning. Mr. Chairman, all Alaskans deserve a life free of violence. This resolution, as well as the governor's Choose Respect campaign, sends an important message to Alaskans about the necessity to end sexual violence that will not be tolerated, silenced, or covered up. Mr. Chairman, I know you have an ambitious schedule, and with that, I would just like to say thank you to each and every one of you here today, the Senate and the House of Representatives, for their continued efforts to eliminate violence in communities across Alaska.
Okay, are there any questions for the sponsor of the resolution? Okay, I don't see any. Let's go to public testimony. Is there anyone online wanting to testify? I don't see anyone. Anyone else in the room wanting to testify? I don't see anyone. Let's close public testimony. Okay, it's a fairly straightforward, simple resolution. As we all know, we have huge sexual assault problems here in Alaska. Any further discussion by committee members? Okay, do I have a motion to move House Concurrent Resolution 28 from committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations?
I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Concurrent Resolution 28 be moved to next committee referral with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
All right, is there any objection? Any discussion? Okay, seeing none, let's take a the bill's moved. We'll take a brief at ease. Apologize for that. We skipped around over Representative Sadler. We're up to House Bill 345, which proposes to adopt regulations by the Department of Administration waiving the CDL driving license test for certain drivers with military commercial motor vehicle experience. Representative Sadler, welcome to the committee. If you could,
thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the Senate State Affairs Committee. For the record, Dan Sadler, Representative, House District 18. Briefly, this bill recognizes Alaskans who hone their driving skills in uniform service deserve to have their experience validated and respected in the civilian world. House Bill 345 will help Alaska's recent military personnel get jobs and help Alaska businesses get qualified drivers by acknowledging that military drivers already have safe driving skills. Just so happens Alaska industry does have jobs for drivers, and the commercial driver's license, or CDL, is an important credential and entryway into such careers. Federal law does allow states to waive the road test for the CDL if military drivers have recent driving experience and a clean record. They must, of course, still pass the regular knowledge test, vision test, and physical exam. The Federal Motor Carriers Safety Administration is encouraging states to grant such waivers, and states like New York, Pennsylvania, Washington, Connecticut, and Nevada are already doing so successfully. HB 345 simply authorizes the Director of Department of Administration to adopt regulations in Alaska in accordance with these federal standards to allow such waivers. In short, 345 means jobs for veterans and qualified drivers for Alaska businessmen. We'd love to answer any questions. We have two folks online to testify.
All right. Thank you, Representative Sadler. And I think it's a good bill. It complements another bill that's been in both the House and the Senate to try to help veterans get jobs. And is there a requirement that members in the military have a commercial driver's license?
Mr. Chairman, no, there's not.
Okay. So they're essentially doing the work of someone with a CDL, but they're not required to have one.
That's correct. They will have a OF a 346, a military driver's, basically driver's license or motor vehicle operator's identification card, which they get after their advanced individual training at Fort Leonard Wood.
And so what we're saying with this is if you have that experience, then the state of Alaska can recognize that and for CDL purposes.
That's correct.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Any questions by members of the committee? Okay. I don't see any. Anyone online to testify?
Yes.
Okay. All right. We have Whitney Brewster from the Department of Division of Motor Vehicles. Whitney, are you online? If you could put yourself on the record.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you. For the record, my name is Whitney Brewster. I'm the Director of the Division of Motor Vehicles. As Representative Sadler stated, there is a caveat in the regulations, the federal regulations, that allows for states to adopt programs to allow for a substitution of the required driving skills test for those specifically who have had recent military commercial motor vehicle driving experience. Those regulations were finalized in May of 2011, and the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration is now urging states to move forward with waiver programs for those veterans who do have experience. The regulations do specify that the program must have two minimum requirements: that the applicant show evidence that he or she has been regularly employed or was regularly employed within the last 90 days in a military position requiring operation of a commercial motor vehicle, and was operating a vehicle representative of the commercial motor vehicle the driver applicant operates or expects to operate for at least the 2 years immediately preceding discharge from the military. So there are minimum requirements that we would obviously mimic in our regulations so that we could still maintain compliance with the federal requirements for commercial driving. And with that, I am happy to answer any questions that the committee members have.
Okay, thank you, Whitney. Whitney, do you know how closely the military requirements track our CDL requirements for commercial driver's license?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not quite sure what requirements and the testing that they are required to go through. I know that the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration works very closely and continues to with the Department of Defense. So that they can have this waiver, but the specific requirements that the military requires, I just don't know those.
All right, thank you. Okay, other questions for Whitney Brewster? Okay, I don't see any. Thank you, Whitney. Okay, next up we have Aves Thompson. Are you online?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. My name is Aves Thompson. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association. And I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 345. Very briefly, our industry needs drivers. And secondly, returning veterans need jobs. As an industry, we welcome our returning veterans and appreciate this opportunity to do something to support them as well as to help ourselves. With the proper certifications as to a veteran's experience, we support waiving the skills test for the issuance of a commercial driver's license. As a veteran myself and on behalf of our membership, we are proud to support our veterans and to support House Bill 345. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Aves. Questions? I don't see any. Is there anyone else in line wanting to testify? Don't see any. Anyone else in the room wanting to testify? I don't see any. We're going to close public testimony. Okay, let's go back to the bill sponsor. Do you know the question? The answer to the question I asked, how closely the military requirements track the CDL requirements?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know exactly, but I do know that the military training, first of all, a soldier goes through their basic training, then they have their AIT advanced individual training. And if you elect to be a motor transport operator or 88 Mike, you go to Fort Leonard Wood. And the training for the 88 Mike is heavy on systems and checklists and what I think would be called in the CDL world the pre-trip portion, you know, planning the trip, planning the fuel requirements, the terrain, and so forth. Certainly, the physical manipulation of vehicles is the same. The military drivers travel on some pretty rugged terrain and some pretty challenging circumstances. I couldn't exactly say how the training parallels, but I do the experience level that tracks pretty well. And on Interstate 5, no one's shooting at you.
Very true. Okay, great. Any other questions? Okay, I don't see any. This is the only committee of referral. We're going to hold the bill overnight. If members have amendments they would like to get to us, my hope is that we can have a meeting tomorrow and move a few more bills. So thank you, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, all members.
Thank you.
Okay, let's take a brief at ease. Let's go back on the record. Take up two bills that we've heard, House Bill 204 and House Bill 205. If we could have Representative Fairclough come forward. And if you could bring Vern, Vern, why don't you come up as well? Okay, welcome to the committee. Let's do, I guess procedurally, we should do one at a time. So let's take two, House Bill 204 first. And if you could put yourself on the record, welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chairman, members of the State Senate Affairs Committee, Representative Anna Fairclough, Eagle River, District 17. Mr. Chairman, did you want me to define or go through what HB 204 does?
No. My hope is to move the bill if there are no questions. Did you have anything you wanted to add at this point? Vern, was there anything you wanted to add at this point on the bill?
No, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Are there questions by committee members? Okay. With that, I would solicit a motion to move House Bill 204 from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal notes.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 204 be moved to the next committee referral with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? Okay, I don't see any. The bill is moved.
Thank you.
Okay, let's move on to House Bill 205, and Representative Fairclough, put yourself on the record.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, Representative Anna Fairclough, Eagle River, House District 17, House Bill 205 changes procurement in the state of Alaska, if we're available for questions.
And this is the second. We've heard this bill before. We had some questions last time. Did you have an opportunity, Vern, on this one, or Anna, to address some of the issues that were raised at the last hearing?
Mr. Chairman, Vern Jones, Chief Procurement Officer for the State of Alaska. I believe that I followed up with email correspondence to the questions that had been raised at the last hearing.
Do members have questions?
I
don't see any. Could I get a motion to move House Bill 205 from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 205 be moved to next committee referral with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? See any? Okay, the bill's moved. Let's take a brief at ease. let's go off the record. Back on the record, and just want to let anyone who may be listening in know that House Bill 64 by Representative Stultz, bill sponsor has asked that that bill be held over for a day, so we're going to do that. Next up, we have House Bill 247 by Representative Lynn. Representative Lynn, welcome to the committee. Yourself on the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee. Representative Bob Lynn, representing District 31 and South Anchorage.
Okay, please, if you could give us an overview of the bill.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for hearing HB 247. The National Guard honors Alaska, and we should honor the National Guard with a special day of recognition. And that's really what this bill is all about. The National Guard can't be mentioned in the same sentence without the words assist, deploy, help, perform, rescue, serve, or save. HB 247 recognizes the value and the dedication of the Guard and its role in the economy, security, viability, and overall well-being of our state and nation. This bill honors the Alaska National Guard with a day of its own each year on July 30th. Which is the same day in 1948 when the Guard was officially authorized by Congress. I think it's a good bill, and your passage of HB 247 is respectfully requested.
Okay, are there any questions of the bill sponsor? I don't see any. Anyone? Let's open public testimony. Anyone online wanting to testify? No one online. Anyone in the room wanting to testify? I don't see any. We're going to close public testimony. Let's take a brief at ease. And it's typically our practice to hold bills for a day. This is it's a very short bill. It's a very simple bill. We can either hold it or we can move this one today, depending on what the will of the committee is. Do the members want a night?
I just assume move it.
Move it? Okay. Yeah. Is there a motion to move House Bill 247 from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note?
Mr. Chairman, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 247 be moved from the committee to next committee referral with attached fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Is there any objection? I don't see any. The bill is moved. Okay, let's take a brief at ease.
Thank you.
Back on the record, time is 9:40, and we are going to adjourn for the day. My hope is that we can reconvene tomorrow morning. We'll work with your staffs on a time so that we can get together and move some more bills. Okay? Okay, we've actually reserved 9 a.m., so my hope is that we can get together at 9 a.m., have a meeting till 10 or 10:30, and wrap things up. Okay, with that, we're adjourned.